This is the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open at the 30, 35, 40, midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Shane Vereen.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up the... Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. He got labeled by who else? Pow! Randy spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Preseason game number one in the books for the Patriots here in 2013. A 31-22 win for the Patriots in their preseason opener over the Eagles in Philadelphia. Good evening, everybody. Mark Bertrand here on the Patriots postgame show, coming to you live from Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. If you want to join the discussion here in the postgame, the email, webradio@patriots.com. You can check in on the phone as well. Toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-728-7500, or locally, 508-298-0398, or 855-PATS-500. Those are the numbers, the email address, if you want to get involved here as the Patriots get a win tonight. 31-22, the final. We get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything that happened in tonight's preseason game, number one for the Patriots against the Eagles.
It's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Pretty sure I said ugly and not injured. Did I throw the ugly in there? I'm going to do that again.
It's the first one of these.
That's all right. It's the good, the bad, and the injured. He's so, you know, just gut instinct, want to say ugly. There were a lot of good things for the Patriots in this game. Number one, obviously, being the fact that they won the game. Preseason game number one, a lot of good things right out of the gate. The first drive for the Patriots in this game, the offense looked sharp when Tom Brady was on the field for the first two series. But on the very first drive, the Patriots did not attempt to throw the ball even once. They ran the ball on every down on that drive, and it did not take long for them to score on that drive. Six plays, 80 yards in 3 minutes and 12 seconds. And among the good in this game were the running backs for the Patriots. The chief among them, in my mind, being LeGarrette Blount tonight, who had a terrific game for the Patriots. But on that drive, you had both Ridley and Blount running. It was Ridley with the touchdown. And the running backs were really the highlight offensively of this game. Although Tom Brady, another one of the good factors in this game, he looked sharp, 7 of 8 in the game for the Pats on his two series that he was in there. And again, it was all on that second series, not the first, because it was all running early for the Patriots, which I think is very important for them to be able to establish in this preseason and going into this regular season. I think the running game is going to have more of an importance for this team this season than it's had in recent seasons. So that was very good to see. LeGarrette Blount making a strong, strong case to be on this roster for the Patriots. He finishes the night with 11 carries, 101 yards, averaging 9.2 yards a carry, two touchdowns, one of them 51 yards, zigzagging across the field. Definitely not the way that play was drawn up. However, he does find his way to the end zone, and I was really impressed with the way that LeGarrette Blount moves. For a guy of his size, his shiftiness and his speed, to be honest with you, he's not super fast, but a speed for a guy of his size, I thought was impressive. He looked good in this game. Stephen Ridley, he did look overall good in the game and finished with good numbers, 8 carries, 92 yards, and the touchdown that I mentioned on that first drive. But on that first drive, he did have a long run in which he got caught on. And if you're watching on the television broadcast, you probably heard it was getting caught with a piano on his back. Right from the first play of scrimmage in this game, Stephen Ridley ran up the middle for 62 yards, but was caught from behind. A play that most people would say, you have to score on. Couldn't do it, but overall on the night, he had a good performance. And also, if we're talking running backs, we're talking about Shane Vereen as well, who on the second Patriots drive capped it off with a 13-yard touchdown from Tom Brady, and it was a beautiful catch for Shane Vereen, who can be one of those big playmaking type of players. We've always talked about that with Shane Vereen, and he showed you some of that ability again tonight with a great grab in the end zone. Great body control, managed to get himself down inbounds in the end zone, and it was a touchdown for Shane Vereen. So the running back group had a very good night. LeGarrette Blount, in my mind, was leading that charge. Tom Brady, as I mentioned, very sharp on that second drive. He played two series, and his night was over. I would also I would also say the young receivers, I thought for the most part in this game, were pretty good. They lived up to the hype, especially early when they had a good quarterback throwing to them in Tom Brady. I thought that they looked good in this game, and the things that we've heard about them coming out of camp, whether it be Aaron Dobson or Kembrell Tompkins, they looked like the guys that they've been hyped up to be. Dobson looked good. Tompkins looked good. Guys that were able to create some separation, be physical as well, make some grabs. I thought that was one of the positives from this game. The bad, well, the quarterbacks other than Tom Brady, I would say, were the bad in this game. Ryan Mallett was not great in this game, nor was Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was the worst out of all three quarterbacks. Bad. Just not a good night for Tim Tebow. Ryan Mallett, we'll get to more about him in a minute, but also special teams in this game. Two missed field goals for Steven Gostkowski. One of them was 53 yards. Okay, I'll give him that one. The other one was 44, early, missed it, wide to the right. And then also Bolden running into the kicker, a penalty on that. Some special teams mistakes in this game. Yeah, not so hot on the special teams. Special teams mistakes. Also, I didn't think they generated anything in the return game on special teams, so that is a negative. That's a knock against the special teams. Special teams not all that impressive.
Oh, no!
In this
we
game.
We suck again!
Also, the defense on the first drive for the Patriots, they needed to settle down a little bit. And Aqib Talib, I'd put on the negative list. Aqib Talib getting caught, well, burned down the field as it was a touchdown for DeSean Jackson early in this game. And Aqib Talib was in coverage. He got beat. He got beat early on, but then the following two drives, Patriots defense settled down. They were able to make some stops. So they settled down early on that first drive for the Eagles. Not so great. As I mentioned, Ryan Mallett, he goes on the injured list. We have the good, we have the bad, we also have the injured. Ryan Mallett would fit into that category. Ryan Mallett goes down with a head injury, which led to a lot of Tim Tebow in this game. Ryan Mallett finished the night 9 of 18 for 97 yards passing. Ryan Mallett did not show the improvement that I was talking about before the game as we talked on Dunkin' Donuts pregame social about him being that third-year guy and making some steps. And I don't know that we saw that tonight. So we're going to have to continue to watch that and continue to see how he progresses in the preseason. We'll see what happens from here when we're talking about Ryan Mallett. That he didn't have great touch on the football. He missed some guys, and I just don't think it was a very good night prior to having that injury. So Brady left the game after 16 snaps tonight, 7 for 8 for Brady, 65 yards and the touchdown to Vereen. Mallett came into the game, and that was the third drive of the game. He missed Dobson. He then missed Vereen, and the Patriots were then punting out of their own end zone. That's when they got backed up deep to start that drive. Patriots' fourth drive, he settled down a little bit when we're talking about Mallett, had some completions to Fells. His first completion, he could have led him a little bit more with the football, didn't do it, but that's nitpicking. But if we're talking about Mallett, you then go on to after that, he had a wide open Boyce down the middle of the field. Would have been a touchdown, and Josh Boyce saw that ball sail over his head because it was a little bit too deep coming out of the hand of Ryan Mallett. That's where he didn't show that good touch on the football, and that's going to be a problem. Following that, that's where we get back into those special teams and Gostkowski missing the 44-yard field goal. So we've got the good, the bad, and the injured. Curious to get your thoughts on preseason game number one. 855-PATS-500, the phone number for you. 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500. You can send your emails in as well, as you can get it to us here at webradio@patriots.com. It's Mark Bertrand with you on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio. Once again, 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number, and also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Already have the emails rolling in here. Everyone's got their thoughts coming in on this game, one of which is coming from all the way from Brazil. Got a thought coming from Brazil. Alexander writing in, "Hey, Mark, I thought Brady and the rookie wide receivers looked very good together today. Brady wasn't known for putting a lot of faith in newbies, but I feel as this is a redemption season for him, as he made Tompkins and Dobson look good and confident. I feel less anxious now after seeing our attack being very productive as we expect season in and season out. As far as our D is concerned, that's just it. Concerning. I thought the offense early on with Brady, first unit guys outplayed first unit guys on the defensive side of the ball." I would agree with that. And when it comes to Brady, and we're talking about working in these younger receivers and all of these new faces, not just the younger guys, but also you're talking about Danny Amendola this season as well. He's doing it out of necessity. It's no longer just a choice. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski to lean back on. He doesn't have Aaron Hernandez to throw the football to. He doesn't have Wes Welker. Those guys right now, not out on the field. Not on the field. So he doesn't have any of those security blankets. Those guys aren't there for him. And now he steps onto the field tonight, and it's all brand new. Everybody out on the field with Tom Brady is guys that he's been working with in camp, working with in these joint practices this week with the Eagles. We heard Tom Brady the other day be excited about the execution that the team had in those joint practices and working with some of those young guys. Maybe there's a chance that at 36 years old, Tom Brady, being challenged with this, being challenged with having all new guys around him, is working harder, is rejuvenated by it, is putting in the extra focus, time, attitude, which I think we all know that he's great on to begin with. But maybe there's just extra special attention he's paying to working these guys in that otherwise he wouldn't have done, because he knew he had guys he could lean on and would want to use in this offense when you have Hernandez and Gronkowski and Welker, and even last year to a lesser degree, Brandon Lloyd. So now that he's got all these new faces, he's got no choice. This isn't just a matter of wanting to work the new guys in. He either works the new guys in or this Patriots offense fails. And which is, again, a reassuring point that you saw early in this game tonight. Tom Brady looked good for the Patriots, and they get a win tonight over the Philadelphia Eagles. 31-22, your final score. We're hoping to be joined by Dane Fletcher, live from Philadelphia. We'll see if he can join us in just a couple of minutes here on Patriots.com. 31-22 is your final. We'll be hoping to get Dane Fletcher live from the Patriots locker room momentarily here on Patriots.com. And again, if you want to jump on board, 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500. That's the easiest way to do it, 855-PATS-500. And you can send your emails as well to webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Tim Tebow in this game, I thought that was one of the down points offensively. Ryan Mallett, also a down point, and Tom Brady looked good for the time that he was in this game. 855-PATS-500, your phone number here on Patriots.com radio. It's the Patriots postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand with you for the next couple of hours here on Patriots.com. If we look at some of the final numbers offensively, I mentioned some of them for you. Brady, 7 of 8 tonight for 65 yards and a touchdown. Tim Tebow, 4 of 12 for 55 yards passing. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Ryan Mallett on the night, 9 of 18, 97 yards. And again, he left the game with a head injury. He had to come out of that game. He was back on the sideline, so don't know exactly how serious it was, but at least a very decent sign that he was back on the sideline during the course of the second half. Joining us now on the program from the Patriots locker room is Dane Fletcher. He joins us live from Philadelphia. Dane, your team gets a win here in preseason game number one. What do you feel like your team accomplished tonight?
You know, it's just getting back to the basics and seeing how mentally tough we are and how physically tough we are as a defense and as an offense. So, you know, you get a lot of tips and a lot of pointers, but you know, we're nowhere near where we need to get to.
Dane, how do you feel like the joint practices during the course of the week help you guys get ready for this game?
You know, it just seems to be a new personnel, new guys, and, you know, almost getting a game-like experience through practices. So I like it, you know. It's a whole new look, 2 weeks in a row, different teams. And, you know, because it gets repetitive when you go against your own guys for a whole year. So it's good, you know. I think we need it.
Patriots linebacker Dane Fletcher joining us. Three solo tackles tonight, a pass defended as well. Patriots get the win down in Philadelphia. Dane, you know, when you're talking about preseason game number one, how specific do you get in terms of planning for the opponent, planning for, I should say, how much is worked into your defensive scheme in terms of building it as you get toward the regular season?
I guess, you know, these preseason games, you really just try and learn about yourself and your own personnel more than anything, more than a game plan of a certain team. And, you know, you like to know who you're going against, but it's not X's and O's like it is when you get into the season. It's more what you're doing, you know, your technique, your fundamentals, and being more fundamentally strong than anything, you know, right off the bat.
How do you think some of your younger teammates, some of the rookies, worked in and were able to contribute tonight?
Yeah, I think they did great. You know, just like I said, as a team, you know, we got a lot to work on and get back to the basics and get back to film. But I think the young guys did well. You know, I feel like everybody played pretty well, and everybody's still got a lot, long experience ahead of them.
Does it feel like you're that much closer to the regular season now, having at least one preseason game in the book?
Yeah, it's just one preseason game. You know, we still got three, and you know, it's just, you know, we're a little ways there, we're a quarter of the way there. That's how I look at it.
All right, Dane Fletcher coming to us live from the Patriots locker room in Philadelphia. Dane, congrats on the win.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Dane Fletcher, Patriots linebacker, joining us live from the locker room down in Philadelphia. The number for you, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. There were a lot of different things that went down in the second half, a lot of different players, a lot of different personnel that made it onto the field. And that was one of the things we were looking for as well for the Patriots, as they really go deep on that depth chart. Ryan Mallett, as I said, was not out there in that second half, but he was on the bench. And again, offensively, this is where the Tim Tebow equation came into the fact. And I can't stress it enough. And maybe it's my personal vendetta, Kevin. Maybe it's my personal vendetta. And I shouldn't say vendetta. That makes it sound personal. That, how do you feel about the quarterback situation after Tom Brady? Because this, I think, is one of the more negative things that came out of this night. I don't feel great about what this team has beyond Tom Brady at quarterback. And I think we've become so accustomed to seeing as I heard Andy Hart and Paul Perillo say at the end of their broadcast on WBZ TV tonight, Patriots fans are so used to seeing a precision passer in this offense. And I understand that when you get into the second half, you know, the personnel changes a little bit. The Patriots, their offensive line has been banged up. They've been trying to kind of glue that thing together. But Tim Tebow in this game was by far the worst of the three quarterbacks. That's what I would say. Tim Tebow was the worst of the three quarterbacks in this game. And I don't feel good. I don't feel good about Ryan Mallett. I think that was a major disappointment tonight. I know it's only preseason game number one, but Ryan Mallett was disappointing prior to getting his head injury. And I thought Tim Tebow was disappointing as well. I thought both of the backup quarterbacks in this game were disappointing. And as far as what we talked about prior to the game, Ryan Mallett being in year three, looking to step up, continue to show that he has developed and is ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, whether it be for the Patriots or any other team. He's probably wanting to prove it to himself, prove it to his coaches, prove it to everybody in the league that he is ready to be a starter, whether it be in New England or elsewhere, because trade possibilities have been floated, you know, that he could be someone the Patriots look to trade and get something in return for after developing him. And if I look at the development of Ryan Mallett tonight, if I watched him in that game like I did, and I'm sure many of you did as well, it's hard to be encouraged. It's hard to be encouraged, and it's now, you know, you always say, if Tom Brady gets hurt, well, you know, now you're putting a huge damper on the Patriots season already, and you're setting the team back so much to begin with, no matter who the second quarterback on the team is. I'm worried. I'm worried about that, about what this team has behind Tom Brady in the event that he was to ever be injured. And I'm not saying anything catastrophic, but if he was to get banged up and miss a half or miss anything, I just wonder how much they really have at that position now. And again, it's only preseason game number one, so there's three more of these preseason games to play. And assuming that Ryan Mallett has his health, which he did have a head injury tonight, and is able to play and get more opportunities, assuming that health, he could turn this thing around. But what I saw tonight, I didn't like. I didn't like from Ryan Mallett on this team. Liked the young receivers, liked the running back group tonight. LeGarrette Blount, I thought, had a very good night. Stephen Ridley with the nice touchdown grab showed some of that offensive explosiveness that gets talked about with him. Shane Vereen, he looks slow. He did have a good night numbers-wise, but he did look slow. And that includes that first play from scrimmage when he could have broken it off for a touchdown but got caught from behind. I thought he looked slow, and I thought that was one of the bad things. Young receivers looked good. Brady looked good. Running backs looked good. And for me, that's what I wanted to watch in this game was offensively, where is this team at? Where is this team at offensively? And I got to say, even with the backup quarterback issues, I feel a lot better already about where this team is with this offense and what they're going to be able to do in the regular season and this year. And I may be overreacting. I know it's only one preseason game, but I think it's very encouraging what we saw tonight. The young receivers lived up to the hype in my mind so far. For preseason game number one, they did. Now, can they do it in the regular season? Well, we won't know until we get there. But for one night, you have to be encouraged with what the Patriots did on the offensive side of the football. They did score 31 points tonight. That includes a couple of missed field goals. So 31 points, pretty good night. Pretty good night. And that drive, the second drive with Tom Brady, was impressive. It looked like a well-oiled machine here in preseason game number one, with Tom Brady being in sync with his receivers, both young and old, including, I won't say Danny Amendola's old, but he's a veteran, both rookies and veterans. It looked to be working for the Patriots. That is a hugely encouraging sign from this team. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number if you want to jump on board. And we will continue to take your phone calls here. Take your emails as well if you want to email into the program. webradio@patriots.com. And if you want to send in a tweet, you can tweet me directly at @Mark_Bertrand. Is that the tweet sound effect here, by the way?
It is.
Really?
That's the bird.
It's nice. So that's the bird. That's the bird. That's the tweet
sound effect. The
Tweety bird. And again, you can send me directly. You want to send a tweet at @Mark_Bertrand on Twitter. You can send that in and we'll be reading your tweets, your emails. Send them in and also give us a call at 855-PATS-500. We will hear from Bill Belichick. We will hear from the quarterback, Tom Brady. We will have all of this coming up, so you don't want to go anywhere. And coming up next, we'll talk about this team's defense and what we saw from the defense in this game tonight. That's coming up next on the Patriots post-game show with Mark Bertrand here on Patriots.com.
Stay tuned for more analysis and reaction from tonight's game.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
It's the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand. Patriots get a win tonight, preseason game number one. They beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. We've talked a lot about what went on in this game overall, the good, the bad, and the injured, with Ryan Mallett, who, oh, by the way, tells Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, quote, he is fine. So he seems to be okay. Did leave after getting his bell rung, so to speak. And so he tells the Herald that he is fine at this point. That is a good sign for Ryan Mallett. But defensively, I touched on it the early part of this game, the Patriots' top defensive starters. And they were on the field for the first couple of series, really. And the Patriots' top defense, I thought, looked like a lot of what we saw from this team the last few years in terms of, can they generate consistent pressure on the quarterback? And I don't think we saw that tonight. It's, again, still early. You don't want to assume that just because they didn't do it tonight doesn't mean that it's not going to be there. But again, it is a defense that I think still needs to generate more of that pressure. Three series total tonight for the Patriots starters on defense. And the first one resulted in Aqib Talib getting beat by DeSean Jackson on a touchdown, 47-yard touchdown from Vic to DeSean Jackson. Aqib Talib in coverage on that play. But then before that, after that, it was Tommy Kelly, one of the new faces on the defense, and Chandler Jones coming up together. That was a strip sack that was recovered for a turnover. Brandon Spikes picked that ball up, and that was a play that needed to be challenged. Bill Belichick pulling out the red hanky early in the preseason, and that was overruled and in the Patriots' favor because the ruling on the field was that it was an incomplete pass. It turns out it was a fumble, so it was Kelly and Jones creating some pressure there. Again, I don't know that they did it consistently, but there were some flashes of it, and that was one of those plays where they get that strip sack. It's a turnover for the Patriots. So the thing is, Kelly looked good, I thought. I thought Chandler Jones looked okay. I know a lot of people were keeping their eyes on Jamie Collins. A lot of people looking at Jamie Collins tonight. Jamie Collins looks young and athletic, and he's all over the field. And I don't know that we learned a ton about Jamie Collins tonight, but I like what I see so far. I like what I see so far with Jamie Collins. And I think he's going to eventually turn into a playmaker for this team. It's just a matter of how long before he is matured to the point where you can count on him on a regular basis. And that kind of speaks to a lot of the players on this team going into this season. To what level do they have to play in terms of how close do they have to get to their ceiling, or how much do they have to play above their baseline expectations for the Patriots to be a championship caliber team, to be one of the best teams in the AFC? That's one of my major big picture questions going into this year. What do they have to get from some of the younger players on both sides of the football? And how much do they have to play above what you would expect to get out of some young players for the team to be successful? Put that on the table as well, including all of your thoughts from tonight's game. The phone number for you is 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. I'm your host, Mark Bertrand. You want to send in a tweet? You can do that as well. It's at Mark with a C underscore Bertrand. Already got some tweets coming in. By the way, got emails on this as well. Last segment, I said Stephen Ridley. I confused Ridley and Vereen. I may have said that Vereen got caught from behind. It was not Vereen. That was Ridley on the first play from scrimmage. And I may have flipped it again when I was talking about the touchdown, which clearly was that great catch by the very athletic Vereen in the end zone. So forgive me for switching up both of those two backs last segment. Again, 855-PATS-500, that is the phone number, and a couple of open lines for you right now if you want to jump on board the Patriots postgame show. We're going to go to those phones right now, and we'll start it with Melvin. He's in Tennessee tonight. What's up, Melvin?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Doing well.
Well, only thing I wanted to talk about was something that I noticed was Tavon Wilson. I thought he was, along with one of the groups, for being quite unimpressive. I know everybody was talking about this jitsu jump from him. Seeing if he could develop at the safety role, and I thought I saw him miss a lot of tackles, kind of be out of position in a couple of times. So, I don't know. I hope this in the defense that has to rely on turnovers like it has these last couple of years. I don't know. I just felt real. I heard the on-the-bubble type moves with him. I don't know if he's going to be on the team or not, but I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that and figure out, you know, what your opinion about him and how he played tonight. I just wasn't too excited about him.
Well, Melvin, I would agree with you. I would absolutely agree with you that from what you saw from Tavon Wilson tonight, he is, you know, put him in the same category of not making a jump, not making a major improvement. Now, do I think he's going to be given more time? Yes. Is he a bubble guy? It's too soon to tell. But this is a guy that Bill Belichick obviously had faith in when he drafted him. And he, according to some people, overvalued him coming out. But I think it's too early to tell. But tonight, I don't think there was anything from Tavon Wilson that made you say, there's a guy who's making some major improvements. There's a guy that's going to continue to help this team or really start to help this team. I would say also got a tweet coming in about basically the secondary as a whole is Michael tweets in, who also emailed us in the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. Michael tweets in, secondary looks like it has little to no depth. That worries me with Dennard's situation up in the air. Thoughts? Well, let's also say this. You also had tonight no Rozai Dowling, no Devin McCourty. You didn't have Dennard out there. And I understand that that basically speaks to the lack of depth because you have some guys who are injured and also one that's up in the air with some off-the-field situations. So the lack of depth right now is a concern. And I think guys like Tavon Wilson are going to have to show you more for that to not be a concern with this team. Again, that number, 855-PATS-500. Let's go to Robin in Florida wanting to talk about the defense. Hi, Robin.
Actually, I wanted to talk about three things. One, my sleeper is Zach Sesko. He did fantastic. What little he was able to do, he is my sleeper. I believe he's going to become a star.
All right, what are the other two?
Well, he was able to catch something from Tebow, which is, you know, a little bit great when you consider we're dealing with Tebow. And I'm very happy with some of the defense. I didn't see much improvement, but I saw some. I am a bit optimistic. I understand the Dennard. I understand the safety situation. I understand the secondary situation and the cornerback situation. I have never been a big McCourty or an Arrington fan. They have let us down years and years and years and years. I'm still hoping that somehow Bill Belichick is going to be able to turn that around. However, we were able to hold them for 14 points for a while until the end.
That is true. I mean, it was 14 points in the first half. The Eagles were scoreless in the third quarter. Then they did get
exactly.
The eight very late in that game. So you could take that away as a positive. That's true. And the starting defense did settle down after that first drive.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I mean, we had Tom Brady out there, and everybody thought that there was going to be nobody for him to throw to. There was going to be nobody for him to go to in any way, shape, or form. But he proved everybody wrong. Because it's Tom Brady, and people just still don't respect him in the way they should.
Well, maybe in some parts of the country, but in this part, right here in New England, I think everyone gives him the respect that he deserves. And he showed you again tonight why you should respect the ability of Tom Brady, as Brady looked as sharp as anybody that was on the field tonight. When we're talking about the defensive secondary, this has been mentioned a lot. I know both Andy and Paul, when they were in here during the game and prior to the game, here on Patriots.com, they were talking a lot about the interesting battle in that secondary is who's going to be the safety on the other side of McCourty. And as I mentioned, McCourty didn't play tonight. He's been out there with that red jersey, the non-contact jersey during the course of camp and practice. So, you know, it's this battle of Adrian Wilson, Steve Gregory. What's it going to look like on that side? Adrian Wilson, you saw some of him tonight. And that's going to be something that continues to develop here through the course of these four preseason games. That's one thing that we're going to get a chance to watch happen right in front of us throughout the course of this preseason is how these battles positionally go in the secondary, which is, you know, we're going to be watching that, but also beyond that as well, some other positional battles. You know, one of my biggest positives from this game is LeGarrette Blount. And I think before tonight, or, you know, I would say a lot of, including myself, I'm going to put myself in this. I didn't know for sure that a person like LeGarrette Blount is going to make the team. You just don't know if that player, this is a guy who's got to fight for a job, in my opinion. And I think tonight he took a huge step toward earning his spot on this roster. And so it goes beyond just, you know, the defensive side of the ball. It goes throughout this team. The secondary is definitely a concern, though. But again, once they get some guys healthy, what's it going to look like? Is it going to look different? And the obviously a bigger question being, can they get healthy? Eddie's in Florida. He's up next here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing, Mark? How you doing?
Doing well.
I want to mention three things. First of all, I agree with the last caller, Zach Sesko. He really impressed me. He only had one catch, but the fact when LeGarrette Blount went for that big zigzagging run, and he's hustling down the field for the big block, that impressed me, first of all. And my second thing, Edelman looked like he was having a hard time getting open. It was early game. He looked a little shaky to me. He muffed the punt. I put, like, if I had a bad list, I put him on my bad list. You know, he did have that one tough catch where he took that big hit. That was a solid catch. But other than that, he seemed kind of shaky to me.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
So what else Edelman, yeah, if I had a bad list, Edelman jumped on my bad list. And my defense, I'm not really too worried about defense. Like you said, you know, we're missing a lot of guys right now. I was really impressed with Tommy Kelly. Then McCourty came on late last year, strong at free safety. We didn't see Adrian Wilson out there either. I don't know if you mentioned him. And I don't know. I'm trying to stay optimistic on the Patriots, and I think our defense is gonna be fine. Honestly, Tommy Kelly, I feel like he's gonna give us like maybe like what the New York Giants had with Kansas coming up the middle. I think Tommy Kelly could be that, complementing Will Fork with Ninkovich and Chandler Jones on the edges. So I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic on with our defense.
All right, Eddie. Thanks for the call. One of the things you said that I think was important was the Edelman part. He was not out there with the starters on offense. He was with the second unit on offense, which was curious, and I think it just lets you know where he stands right now in terms of what his role will be. You know, Danny Amendola can go outside, and he gives you something that Wes Welker didn't, and I think maybe a little bit Julian Edelman, we don't really think of him. You know, we're talking about replacing the production that Wes Welker gives this team or has given this team in the past. And one of the guys that doesn't often get mentioned is Julian Edelman. I think a lot of the attention has been paid to Danny Amendola getting signed and being the replacement for Wes Welker. But this team, last year at the start of the year, they were giving a lot of snaps to Julian Edelman in the role that Wes Welker was designed to fill on this team and did fill for a very long time and was very productive doing so. And now tonight, preseason game number one, he's not on the field with the starting offense. He came in a little bit after the fact. I thought special teams-wise, we talked about him, didn't get a lot of traction in the return game. He also was out there, again, playing with the Ryan Mallets and Tim Tebow's of the world, the backup quarterbacks, which is a huge part of it as well. So I don't know that it's totally fair to gauge what Ryan Mallett, what it comes down to with Julian Edelman when you've got Ryan Mallett as your quarterback on the field. Tweets coming in. You can tweet me, Mark_Bertrand on Twitter. This tweet says, if Blount makes the team, do you think they will keep Bolden? I don't believe so. I think Bolden's the odd man out in that situation. If that's the case, I think he's not going to be a guy who makes the team, because not only the size of what you saw tonight from LeGarrette Blount. He's a big man, but he's pretty good. I mean, he showed decent speed for his size. He moves well, had good vision. He did have the crazy zigzag 51-yard touchdown, which, you know, you go to the sideline and you have your coach say, that was awesome, good touchdown, don't ever run it like that again, because I don't think that's what your coaching staff is looking for when you decide you're going to run backwards. It's like the play you see in Pop Warner football all the time. That's what he was running there on that play. So I think if you're asking the question about roster spots, if it had to be decided today, which clearly it doesn't, it's going to be more time given to the subject. I think Bolden is out. That's what I would say. Telephone number for you, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, the phone number if you want to get on board. Wide open phone lines for you right now, 855-PATS-500. Also getting some emails in as well. Turk writes in, I would rate Mallett's performance slightly higher than you did. At the very least, he's an above-average backup. I was happy with all the running backs and the offense in general. I always worry about the defense, and I also think the Eagles are probably a bad team. Also asks, I was wondering about Richard Seymour. Is he going to play at all this year? If he's done, do you think he has a shot at the Hall of Fame? How would you rank him compared to Justin Smith? By the way, you confused Ridley and Vereen in your analysis. I'm aware. I'm aware. Thank you. It's good to know that you are all listening closely to everything I say. I would say when we're talking about Mallett as above average quarterback, I don't know. I'm not convinced of that, Turk. I mean, what does he do that's above average in anything that he does? He just doesn't show a great command of the offense. He doesn't show great touch on the football. I'm not sure that Ryan Mallett is an above average backup. Could he get the job done? Maybe. I would say maybe. I would not go with above average on the backup. I think there are, you know, and then again, what's average when you're talking about backups? There's a lot of bad backups in the NFL. I think he's right in that group. I don't think he's above average. If you want to call him average, I'd say okay. So I don't know about that. When it comes to Richard Seymour, I don't know. And does he have a shot at the Hall of Fame? Probably. Do I think Richard Seymour will be suiting up for the New England Patriots again? Probably not.
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
That goes way back right there. Also, Kareem writes in, again, the email address for you, webradio@patriots.com. This email from Kareem says, do you think the Pats should bring in some competition against Steven Gostkowski? What do you think, Kev? You think you should bring in some extra kickers here?
I say yes.
Just to needle them a little bit?
Chris Copeland again, UMass star. Bring him in again.
I don't know that Chris Copeland's enough.
He was in, two straight camps, I think he was in for? He was really good at that drill where you line up next to the crossbar and you have to hit it from the side. He took you know, particular pride in that drill, I noticed, Beetle.
Particular pride? Is that what it was? Pride.
Yes, pride. He took pride in that drill.
Okay. If you say so. I don't think that they are going to need to needle the kicker. You know, the one he did miss from 53, that's a long field goal. Okay. The 44, that was questionable, and he missed by a lot. But that could also just be getting back into the groove of things. Listen, if he goes out and he starts missing kicks again next week, I'll get on board. All right, Kareem, you have my word. One more week of missing multiple field goals, and I'll get on board with that. Bringing in another kicker, giving him some real competition. But if you're doing it, I don't want it to be just bringing in a kicker just to get the attention. I want it to be bringing in a kicker because you think they could actually compete and win the job. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you on the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Let's continue with your phone calls. Josh is in Virginia tonight. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing. What do you got?
I'm just here to talk about New England as like as a whole. I mean, I get a lot of the, you know, I get what a lot of people are saying about New England and, you know, Julian Edelman. Actually, honestly, I felt like Julian Edelman was getting open. If you notice, there's a couple tip passes because Tebow really doesn't have the mechanics to throw the ball. I looked at a couple different things. I mean, Kemble Thompkins is the one that's most impressing me as far as a receiver goes. He's showing that he can get open and show some good hands in there. Running backs, I say LeGarrette Blount makes the team over Bolden. I mean, Bolden made another mistake on special teams today. And if you remember from last year, he had some problems fumbling in the last preseason, doing some returns and stuff for him. I'd say it looks like LeGarrette Blount makes the team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that without a doubt. If you watch that performance tonight, it's hard to say after seeing that that you think he wouldn't make the team. Right now, if you're making that roster, he's a lock. He's a lock just based on what you saw tonight. And apparently, according to all the reports coming out of Philadelphia, he drew quite the crowd in the postgame in the Patriots locker room. That was where the attention was paid. I mean, player of the game, without a doubt. LeGarrette Blount, to me, is the player of the game, and it was a pleasant surprise to see him get in there and do what he did tonight. Landon's in West Virginia. He's up next here on the Patriots postgame show. Hi, Landon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well.
All right. Yeah, I love the show. I listen all the time, but this is the first time calling. I didn't know how easy it was to get through.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I know it's been a horrible offseason, but I was optimistic even when we let Welker go. You know, we kept the three we was always talking about with Vollmer, and Tlaib came back. I kind of wish we would have got him for 3 years, maybe, what they're saying, how he looks in camp so far. And the continuity we were going to have, you know, Leon Washington, our return game's been suffering. You know, I was really excited. The Hernandez things, you know, hurt. But with that said build and the tall receivers, they got that Dobson. They can have kind of a taller package out there once Gronk gets back. Big Gronk, that other tall, that 6'7 tight end. And then Dobson, 6'3 with that good leaping ability, you know, in the hands. So I still think we're going to be all right. I think, you know, I'm looking for like a 12-4 at worst.
At worst, that's you're going very, very optimistic. Landon, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, I'm not saying that's unreasonable, but one preseason game, you're already calling it 12-4. Well, that's pretty good. I mean, I'd give him a little bit more time before you start making such season predictions. I'm not ready to predict the season yet. It's only one preseason game. We have a lot more football to watch before these games even count. But I'll tell you what, tonight, offensively, which I think is one of the biggest concerns coming into the year because you have so much changeover, you have to be impressed. You have to feel good about where this Patriots team is offensively, considering all the new guys that were worked into this offense tonight and, for the most part, looked pretty good doing it. Number for you, again, 855-PATS-500 if you want to jump on board. And again, when we talk about some of the guys that Landon just mentioned, he mentioned, you know, Gronkowski not going to be there, we assume, at the start of the season, but he's going to be worked in at some point, and we don't know exactly how long it will take for him to get back to the form that we're used to seeing him in. But some of these other younger players, whether it be Tompkins or Dobson, I was impressed with their ability to come into this game and catch passes in situations where they had to be in traffic or had to be physical. Tompkins was, he came as advertised. I mean, Tompkins today was, you know, coming off the line and was getting hit and was able to get himself open even in tight coverage and make catches. You saw him make some catches with Brady on the field. I think it was the third pass that Brady threw on the second series was to Tompkins. And he also then caught another short pass a couple of plays later. Dobson had a really nice catch over the middle of the field for 23 yards on that same drive. It was a 23-yard catch that, again, going over the middle and Tom Brady finding him right down the middle of the field. Tompkins had two more catches after that. Tompkins had four catches on that drive, all, you know, less than 10 yards, but all good, solid catches that made him look more in sync with Tom Brady than I expected him to be and look good in that offense. Tompkins and Dobson, both good tonight. Both of them were good. We're going to go back to these phones with you as we have some open lines still if you'd like to jump on board at 855-PATS-500, locally 508-298-0398 as we talk about the Patriots' win over the Eagles in preseason game number one. 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. You want to send in a tweet, you can do that. Do it to me directly. Mark with a C underscore Bertrand. Send in the tweet. That's the tweet bird. Send in the tweet, and we'll be reading those throughout the program as well. Drew's in Boston tonight. What's up, Drew?
Hey.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, I just want to talk about a couple things.
Sure.
One was... I'm not worried about the defense because, you know, we're missing McCourty and Dennard and Dowling, and you can make the case that Dennard and Dowling are second and third corners, and if everyone knows, like, an offensive league, there's not many really defenses that can shut any team down consistently that has quarterbacking. And another big piece is Armin Armstead. I really want to see him. I watched the CFL, and he was the only rookie to make the All-Star team. He won the championship, and he's just a huge man. He just bull rushes these offensive linemen. And another thing I want to talk about was, on offense. You know, I've been really excited since the offseason. Well, everyone was like, Tom's missing 90% of his targets. I was like, you know, you got Dobson, 6'3". Boyce is one of the fastest players in the draft, top three time. You got Amendola, who I think has a chance to lead the league in receiving yards. Tom is just going to hit him all game. You got Gronk, Ballard, 6'6", and then Sudfeld, 6'7". You got Mark Harrison, who's like 6'4", 250. You got Quentin Sims and Julian Edelman. Tom, this is the most talented and biggest, most athletic offense Tom's ever had. And Bill's made it like a point over the past couple of years to draft and get these big receivers and Kimbrough Tompkins. And looks like he's got enough weapons and special teams game with Leon Washington, Amendola, Edelman, and even Boyce. And I think defense will be fine. We got D-line, linebackers, corners, and safeties. I think we're this the most complete team we've had in a long time.
Well, Drew, thanks for the call. I don't think that offensively he drew it up the way that he did. And that obviously involves not having to replace Aaron Hernandez or right now for the time being dealing with the loss of Rob Gronkowski, who was injured. He lost, Wes Welker in free agency in terms of building this team. He did go out and find Danny Amendola and was able to sign Danny Amendola. But, you know, there have been some unexpected changes on this team. Whether or not it's the most complete team that the Patriots have had in some time, that remains to be seen. I think it's a little bit too early to make those distinctions based on what we've seen so far. It's very, very early. Very early, and there's still a lot of preseason games left to play. Three more to go beginning next week, another game next Friday. There's a lot of football left to play before I'm ready to go there with you. But maybe that's the case. I'm just not willing to go there yet. Let's talk to Kevin, who is calling in tonight from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, coming from Jacksonville. Basically, my concern was we've seen a lot of success on the offensive side of the ball over the past couple of years, but we haven't seen that in the postseason outside of, like, the Houston defenses. I'm really concerned about the ability of the receivers to get open and get separation, which tonight, at least they're catching the ball, but they didn't seem to get a lot of separation. And I'm concerned about that once the caliber of play steps up. Like, Dobson was catching it, and Tompkins was catching it, but they didn't seem to get a lot of separation. I'm just concerned about that once you're not facing the Philadelphia defense, which wasn't that great last year. But, once we face the Baltimore Ds and things like that, as we progress in the postseason, I know that's looking forward, but looking to take that next step, I'm just concerned about what you see for the future of the Patriots offense there.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. I would say this on both of those guys. Number one, this is the first NFL game they're playing in, so you have to consider that. I mean, I know it's a preseason game, but this is it. This is the first real game that they've suited up for. And the separation is legitimate. You didn't see a ton of separation, especially from Tompkins. You did see it a little bit from Dobson, and there were some plays later on in the game where Dobson got himself wide open, especially on the play that Tebow was sacked on when he locked in on Sudfeld. Rolled out, looked at Sudfeld, had him open, was locked in, didn't throw, had Dobson wide open down the field, and Tebow took the sack. Not what you're going for there. That's not what you want. But the separation point, maybe that's something that progresses as well. If it's a concern right now, I could see it being a concern in the early part of the preseason. And I don't want to write it off as not being a factor, because it could be. But don't forget, these guys are on the field going up. I know if you think the Eagles are not a great defense, but they're still playing against the ones at that point. That's early in the game. So at least they're playing against the ones. They're making the grabs, and they're getting open enough. And when you have Tom Brady, that's what you need to be, open enough. All right, the number for you is 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. Webradio at patriots.com is the email. Webradio at patriots.com. Mark Bertrand with you on the Patriots postgame show. Do not go anywhere, because coming up next, we will hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots. That's Bill Belichick, after his team got the win tonight in Philadelphia. 31 points for the Patriots tonight in their win, their 31-22 win over the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll hear from Bill Belichick coming up next.
The Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 odd megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of this summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Mark Bertrand with you on the Patriots postgame show, patriots.com, coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio. Inside Gillette Stadium after the Patriots get a win in Philadelphia. 31-22, the final tonight. Patriots put up 14 points in the first quarter, 10 in the second quarter, 7 in the third quarter, and they were shut out in the final quarter of football tonight. And on the other hand, Philadelphia, 7 in the first, 7 in the second, and 8 in the fourth. They were shut out in the third quarter, 31-22, the final. Patriots get the win on the road tonight in their first preseason game. The Ace Ticket Hotline for you to jump on this program, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, which comes out to 855-728-7500. Toll-free in North America. That's what I'm told. 508-298-0398, the phone number locally if you want to check in on that number, 508-298-0398. You can email as well. Send us an email. We need an email sound effect, Kevin. Why do we not have one of those?
I should get one.
You should get one. We have a Twitter sound effect. We just don't have an email one.
Emails aren't as sexy as tweets.
That's true. A little bit old school now, believe it or not.
We need like the whoosh of the iPhone. You know, that's what we need to get. When you send your email on the iPhone,
yes.
It gets that whoosh.
We need that.
We need that.
We'll have that. We'll have that for next week.
Yeah, I can come up with that.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. You want to send in your emails. We'll take those as well. We'll hear from Bill Belichick coming up momentarily, but right now we're going to hear from Brian. He's in Brighton tonight. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bertrand.
What's happening?
Welcome to Patriots.com Radio.
Thank you. I hear you are one of the regular contributors here at Patriots.com Radio.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I do try to have a life.
What's going on? What did you think of tonight's game, Brian?
A lot of things. Please, Brady, stay healthy. Because I thought a lot of people really hit the nail on the head, especially the PFW guys. Mallett, all he did was throw terrible passes.
Yeah, it didn't look good. Didn't look good for him tonight.
I really didn't see much of a degradation when we put Tebow in, to be honest.
And not only that, Brian, does Ryan Mallett look any different to you than he did a year ago when he was playing more than 100 snaps in the preseason last year?
No.
I didn't think so either.
No. I mean, I saw I cringed every time he threw the ball because I saw him leading the receivers into murder. Like, they're reaching behind themselves, getting ready to get absolutely killed by safety or just to try to catch a ridiculously badly thrown ball.
Yeah, there were some floaters in there.
Yeah, it was terrible, and I'm very nervous. I would have liked to, like, when Tebow went in, okay, you know, I know who Tebow is. He's not an NFL quarterback. So when the offense just stifled, that's fine. But, I mean, that's what I expected. But I thought Mallett just was atrocious.
Yeah, I didn't feel great. I didn't feel great about that, and I obviously don't feel great about what the team would look like if Tom Brady was to ever not be healthy. So I agree with you. Tom Brady, got to stay healthy.
So, anyways, just wanted to throw in a quick in. Welcome to the team.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Good night.
All right, good night. Brian in Brighton. He's going to be one of the regulars here. That's what I'm told. Brian in Brighton, always one of the regulars, always likes to check in here on Patriots.com Radio. If you want to check in, do it. We got the open lines for you. 855-PATS-500, 855-728-7500. And again, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. And you can also send me a tweet tonight on the Twitter machine. Send me a tweet @Mark_Bertrand. And again, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this. You know, when I'm on the radio, I always have to explain that Mark is with a C and not a K, and I blame my parents for it. It's their fault. Mark_Bertrand on Twitter, and send me a tweet, and I'll be reading those as well. But right now, we go to Philadelphia to hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots. That's Bill Belichick. This is what he had to say after the win.
All right. So, you know, I felt like we got off to a good start tonight. We had an opportunity to play a lot of people. Had a lot of situations come up in the game. So, you know, that was good, too. I think we gained a lot of experience, and, you know, we got a long way to go. I think there were some good things out there, but we'll just have to, you know, keep stringing it together here, keep grinding away. We got, like I said, we got a long way to go, and I think if we can keep, you know, putting together good practices and solid efforts when we get out there on the field, that we'll, you know, make the kind of progress that we need to make. But it was a good week for us down here. It really was. Coach Kelly and his staff and Eagles, we got a lot of good work in this week, and definitely we're a better football team than we were, you know, 5 days ago.
Coach, can you talk about your running back situation first? And you got touchdowns from three different guys tonight.
Yeah, Steve, I think we got a lot of production out of our running backs, and actually we got good production out of the receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs. You know, we're able to get a good balance on offense, so, you know, it's great. Anytime you can run the ball, that helps everything else, so. You know, we blocked well, our receivers blocked well, backs ran well. And we had a few good plays.
We saw what Brady did tonight. What were your thoughts on Ryan Mallett and how he came in? I know he got hurt.
Yeah, he did. You know, I thought he did a solid job in there. You know, again, I thought all of our quarterbacks were productive. We had a production from a lot of guys. You know, it's not perfect out there by anybody. We definitely got things we got to work on, but, you know, I thought we did enough good things to move the ball fairly consistently and be balanced.
On the defensive side, get some players making plays, you know, when they had to.
Yeah, a lot of guys played, and again, it's you know, an offense that we practice against, but it's still you know, a tough offense to play against, and we got a lot of looks on. I think that'll serve us well. When we have to go up against that again, we learned, you know, about how to play some of their option schemes. They have several different ones. They, you know, they do a good job, and so that was a good experience for us too. It's, you know, you can't, you know, there's a lot of no huddle, a lot of pace, not all, but, you know, some, and that was good for us too. We could evaluate our conditioning and also, you know, some of our schemes against that type of offense.
And one of the things you wanted to improve on this year was your pass rush. Were you pleased with the pass rush tonight?
You know, we had our moments. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was all right. I don't think so. It was great.
McGarrett Blunt had a nice improvised run. I'm sure it's like that, or you guys can get up.
Yeah, I mean, really, like I said, all of our backs are productive. We got good production from all of them in a running game, some in the passing game, too, screen passes. So, you know, we were able to, you know, all those guys were able to be productive.
Did Mel going out change much the timetable that you had in mind for bringing in Tebow?
No, I think that's worked out about that way. I think, you know, we ran like 40-some plays in the first half. So based on the number of plays we ran, then we would have put Tim in the third corner anyway.
And that read option, I just wanted to ask you briefly about it. And I don't even know if it's necessarily called read option.
They run a lot of different schemes off, but there's, you know, some keep, some options, some different dive entry points, so it's a whole offense. It isn't just one play. They test in a lot of areas.
I meant on your end, so, I mean, that's going to be a work in progress when you go down all the first
week. Yeah, ran a couple times, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops.
All right, we'll take a look at it.
Hey, Coach, what were your overall thoughts on Tim Tebow's performance tonight?
I think it's all about the same, you know, for everybody. I mean, we did some good things out there. It was far from perfect. We can all learn from it. We're going to learn from it. And, you know, we'll improve it. I mean, I think that's true of myself, the coaches, the players. You know, I mean, I think we played competitively, but there were, you know, we all made mistakes out there. And, you know, the things that we can learn from, we're certainly not in midseason form by any stretch. So we'll just keep working to, you know, clean up the things that we can improve on, and there's plenty of those for all of us. Not singling anybody out. We're all in that boat. You know, we haven't played a game in 6 months, and this is the first one. There's some, you know, decent things, but there's also plenty of things we need to work on. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
There's the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, after his team's win tonight in Philadelphia. And I'll tell you, Bill Belichick sounds pretty pleased with the way things went, not only for his team tonight, but also the entire week. I think Bill Belichick has really come to like these joint practices that the Patriots have done with a number of teams. And the latest one being this one with the Philadelphia Eagles this week. They were scheduled for two. They ended up having three. And the Patriots and Eagles have three joint practices. Yesterday, a bit of a walkthrough from what I understand. So three joint practices and now a game tonight between these two teams. And Bill Belichick obviously has a lot of respect for Chip Kelly. He's spoken at length about his respect for Chip Kelly and some of the things that, you know, they've done together in terms of, I guess, putting their brains together to discuss both their game and coaching strategies and how to run a program and all of those things. All of those things have happened. So a great deal of respect between the two head coaches, and it sounds like both of their teams probably got something out of it this week in getting into a practice and going up against teams, I should say players from another team, which always adds a different element to things. Clearly you get it in a preseason game, but it's good for the Patriots to get it in the form of a practice. And so Patriots get out of Philadelphia with a win. Ace Ticket Hotline for you tonight, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number to jump on board. You want to email in. You can do that as well. Webradio@patriots.com. Jake is in Pittsburgh tonight, and he's up next on the Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
It's going well.
Oh, man. Well, Belichick said they didn't look like they were in midseason form. The secondary looked like they were in midseason form tonight. They didn't look good at all. I really want to get your opinion on this because, I mean, I know McCourty wasn't there, and I know Ross Idaling, the guy who's made a paper, wasn't in there tonight, but I have no idea what they're going to do in the secondary. I mean, Tlaib, yeah, he looked good last year, but looked pretty bad on that pass to DeSean Jackson. And I mean, it's not like McCourty and Dowling are going to walk through the door and be Ed Reed or Darrell Revis. And, I mean, it looks like they looked like they did last year. And the offense can play as well as it wants, but, I mean, they can put up 07 numbers. But I have no idea. I mean, if teams line up and throw the ball 70 times, they're going to complete 40 of the passes. They're going to have 400 yards. I want to get your opinion on this because they looked just like they did last year, and there's no encouraging signs to me.
Well, I think you're also talking about a secondary that tonight didn't have a number of players out there. You know, you mentioned Rozai Dowling, who wasn't out there tonight, so he wasn't able to contribute. They didn't have Alfonso Dennard, though, which, if you're talking about your starting corners, you didn't have Dennard out there, who's expected to start on the other side of Tlaib. You didn't have that guy. You didn't have what you expect to be your starting free safety in Devin McCourty. And I'll tell you what, say what you want about Devin McCourty, and he has had some struggles at times. I think he can be a solid player for this team. And I think he's shown that he can be a solid player. So I'm not writing off Devin McCourty because, you know, he's not Ed Reed. That doesn't mean he's not a valuable starting member of this team, because I think he's very valuable to this team. And you didn't have him out there tonight. You had Tavon Wilson out there instead. And I'll tell you, now Tavon Wilson, now that's a disappointment. But are you going to be relying on Tavon Wilson come the regular season? I don't think that's going to be the case. So I'm reserving a little bit of judgment here because it is only one preseason game. I'm not willing to get, you know, to the point where you're going to write off this secondary and say it's the same as always. I want to see how this develops. I want to see how they work in Adrian Wilson. I want to see how that battle at strong safety goes for this team on that side of the field. And let's see it develop. Is it a concern? Of course it is. And, you know, the Tlaib play, that one, if you're a fan of Aqib Tlaib, which I am, I'm a very big fan of Aqib Tlaib, you don't expect to see that play that happened on that first drive. You don't expect to see it. Jackson was on the inside of the field. He took that inside track, and Tlaib was on the outside, and he not only wasn't in good coverage there, but it looked like he wasn't that far off, but it looked like he was a lot further off than he really was. And that's just to say it didn't look good. It was an ugly play for him, and he got beat. He got beat. He got beat for big plays, and you don't want to see that. You don't want to see someone who you expect to be your top corner to get beat on a big play ever. You just never want to see that. And when it happens on the first drive, well, it really kind of stands out. It really does. This does bring me to the other point, though, about this defense, which is, and I mentioned this off the top tonight, when it comes to putting pressure on the quarterback, I think that continues to be something that the Patriots have been striving for. They've been striving for that in recent seasons, getting more pressure on the quarterback or being more consistent in their pressure on the quarterback, because that can alleviate a lot of things in your secondary. And did they do that tonight? I don't know. I don't know that they were able to put that consistent pressure on the quarterback. I think that's a failing so far. And that could change. That could absolutely change. As I mentioned, starting defense out there for three series. I think it was 11 or 12 snaps overall in this game. So we're going to see more time. But that's something to keep an eye on. I think that's something that the Patriots must improve on. If they do have deficiencies in this secondary, how are they going to make up for it? How are they going to be able to alleviate those issues? And one of the ways they can do it is by putting more pressure on the quarterback. That's what I want to see. I'd like to see them be more aggressive, and I think a lot of people would like to see them be more aggressive. Can they be more aggressive is the question. Telephone number, 855-PATS-500. Open lines for you right now. We're going live here on Patriots.com for another 40 minutes or so. So we have some time here. 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. You can email in webradio@patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand. This is the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. You want to send in those emails? Like I said, webradio@patriots.com. Got an email here from Pete. Pete emails in, what did you think of the backup punter? Now, it's not often that you get a question about Ryan Allen, the backup punter for the Patriots. 23 years old, out of Louisiana Tech. He is a rookie, and he is the backup punter at this point in time.
Didn't I see something that said he won the Ray Guy Award in 2011, 2012 as the best college punter? I believe he did.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm thinking he did.
You did? Well, I'll tell you what.
I like special teams, Bertrand.
I can tell. He looked good tonight.
Last year, I was, you know, your predecessor, Adam Jones. Yeah. I was on the Marquise Cole.
We don't like to mention him around.
I was on the Marquise Cole bandwagon the whole preseason, and sure enough, Marquise Cole made the team.
Marquise Cole looked good tonight,
He did look good. He had a couple of pass breakups.
That's something I wanted to mention.
He's one of those gunners that can play special teams.
Jotted my memory. Marquise Cole had a good night. Ryan Allen? Ryan Allen had a good night, too. He is the backup punter, and he looked good. There was a huge return on one of his punts. However, in terms of kicking the ball in the air, I think it was 52 and 56 yards were his punts tonight. And is there a competition there? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Is there a chance that the Patriots make a change at punter? Instead of Zoltán Mesko, you get Ryan Allen, who apparently is one of the best punters in all of college football last year. Is that correct, Kevin
Collins? Yeah, he won the Ray Guy Award in 11 and 12.
Wow.
He averaged 48 yards a punt as a senior in 2012, which is very good.
That's a good average. So there you go.
He also had a career-long 85-yard punt against New Mexico State.
That's pretty good. Ryan Allen.
Unanimous All-American. So there you go.
But then it comes down to, you know, he's a punter.
He's a punter.
Yeah.
What about it?
I'm just saying, you know.
I see you get out there and kick the ball.
I can't kick. I can't kick a field goal. I can't kick a punt. I can't do any of those things. I'm not gifted with the feet.
The feet. You're not like Rex Ryan?
No. No, I can't. I can't do any of that. But.
Really beautiful feet.
I'm not talented with the feet like Rex Ryan is. I can't, you know, can't model the feet. Can't.
But most men like to do a lot of things with those feet.
Yeah, can't show those feet out the car window. Can't do any of those things.
Wow, they're like really soft.
Really soft. How the Jets do tonight, by the way?
I know, Sanchez, you were giggling like a schoolgirl when he threw his first
Sanchez
pick six.
Sanchez threw a pick six early. Sanchez threw a little bit of a pick six, and Geno Smith, well, he had a slight injury and didn't turn out well for the Jets. They lose tonight to the Detroit Lions. 26-17, the final between those two teams. Oh, what are you going to do?
McElroy looked good. 11 out of 19, 145 yards.
That's my guy. That's G-Mac. Don't ever underestimate G-Mac, but the Jets lose tonight, and you got Sanchez throwing pick six early in that game. That's sad. It really is. I'm really going to.
That's being a jackass.
Yeah, there it is, Rex Ryan. Again, you want to jump on board, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's where you want to reach us. And also, you can send your emails in as well. Send the emails to webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. Let's check the Twitter. Let's check that. You got a sound effect there, Kevin? Let's hit the sound effect. There we go. Mark, M-A-R-C.
I tweeted at you a couple minutes ago.
_
I got
Bertrand.
Nothing.
Tweet from Kevin Collins says, hanging out with Mark Bertrand on patriots.com radio. Until 12:45, give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. That's a good tweet.
It's a damn good tweet.
It's an excellent tweet. Here's Michael Verms tweeting in. Michael got to us earlier today as well. Michael tweets, I guess my main concern is that if they get one injury, I don't want them moving McCourty and Ryan. Didn't help my concerns, and he's obviously talking about the secondary. He writes, Dowling has never proved to stay healthy, and what happens if Dennard gets suspended? Well, then you start having some real concerns. If you're talking about guys being injured and guys being suspended, you're going to have to make up for it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, this is the group you got. And they're going to have to figure this thing out. And I would caution against overreaction on not only the negatives in this game, like the secondary, which is a downer. Okay, secondary is on the bad list. As is Ryan Mallett, as is Tim Tebow, as is some of the special teams plays. Don't overreact to the positives in this game either. Let's just stay very level, even keel, on preseason game number one. LeGarrette Blount looked awesome tonight. There's no way around it how good he looked in this game. But it's, you know, just one game. It's one game. So I don't want to say that LeGarrette Blount is going to do everything that he did tonight in the regular season right away. It's too early. It's too early, and it's preseason game number one. Think back to last year. Here's a good case in this. Think back to preseason game number one for the Patriots, the offensive line, and the way in which they struggled at the beginning of the preseason last year. And we were all saying, oh, no, is going to be a major concern for the Patriots. They're never going to be able to protect Tom Brady. This is going to be a major problem for this team. And guess what? They got it together, and they turned out to be a solid unit last year for the Patriots, and they protected Tom Brady, and it didn't end up being a concern. So you don't want to get too high on the positives in this game. You don't want to get too low on the things that didn't go well. It's preseason game number one. We're starting to learn things about this team. It's great to see them in a real game situation. That's the best part about finally getting to preseason games. You know, practices are nice. Training camp's good. Come down to Foxbury. Come down here at Gillette Stadium. It's a great experience. But still just, you know, training camp and it's a practice. Then you get to the preseason games and it's not quite the game yet. But it's good. It's real game experience, but it's not a regular season game. It's a little bit short of that. So, again, I just caution. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Again, my good points tonight. LeGarrette Blount, great. Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, both very good as well. I wish Ridley had not been caught from behind on that first play from scrimmage. Tom Brady, great. Like you would expect anything less. Him working in the young and new receivers, great. Hugely encouraging sign. That the fact that that looked good right away, that's one that I do want to get high on, and I'm, as I caution against getting too high. That's the thing that I'd say I'm the highest on out of this game, is the fact that these guys looked on the same page as Tom Brady early on. That I thought was one of the really good things in this game. And we're going to hear from the quarterback himself, Tom Brady, and the things that he had to say after this game. We heard him earlier in the week after these joint practices. He liked the way in which his team was able to execute on offense and the way in which he was working with those young receivers and new receivers. He looked good again tonight with those guys. We're going to hear from Tom Brady and what he had to say after the win over the Eagles. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
More Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand after this quick timeout.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Patriots postgame show live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
As you just heard, that phone number for you is 855-PATS-500. Still plenty of time for you to check in with the show. It's the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. As promised, Tom Brady, what he had to say after this game tonight, or I should say last night, it's now after midnight. Patriots get the win over the Eagles, 31-22, the final. Tom Brady, 7 of 8 for 65 yards and a touchdown. Patriots had back-to-back scoring drives to start the game. The first drive tonight, Tom Brady handed the ball off on every single play. No pass attempts on drive number one. They ran it right down the throats of the Philadelphia Eagles and scored a touchdown. And then on the second drive, that's when Brady broke out the passes and looked very good doing so, as the Patriots quickly put 14 points up on the board with Tom Brady in the game. And here's what TB12 had to say after.
Yeah, well, it started with, you know, what we did up front, hand the ball from the first play. A guy rid runs, how 45 yards, 62 yards.
62 first play.
Yeah, incredible. So, you know, to hand the ball off as many times as we did on the first drive and get the ball in the end zone was great. The offensive line, you know, took a lot of pride in that. And you know, we're challenged to be a tough football team, and to really do that and run the ball like we did was great. And then the second drive, you know, we're able to make some plays, you know, throwing the ball, spread it around to different guys. You know, KT did a good job. Aaron did a good job. Josh had some opportunities. Danny, I mean, everyone contributed. So, you know, it was really a good week. It was a good week.
Tommy, you've been pinpoint accurate all week long for that matter. But that touchdown to Shane Marino, I mean, actually, you stalled at the line of scrimmage because you were realizing who was covering the guy.
I was trying to figure out what to do. I saw what we wanted.
A long time.
I know. I was, Yeah, I was looking and trying to figure out, well, what's the best thing to do, because I knew with the coverage.
Right.
And then Shane and I had a little connection, and it was good. It was a great catch. I mean, get his feet down, tight area. Shane's been doing that, but I mean, he's really come on. He's really, you know, continued to improve. So it was great to see him make that play.
In order to know you can make that throw, like some of the throws that you made to Tompkins, this week must have been really valuable for you against Tiffany. You can see that he's like, all right, I go to him, he'll make this kind of play. Was
sure.
Very valuable.
Yeah, it was. Well, I think there's a lot of things you can't simulate in a walkthrough or practice, and you go against your own defense, and now that, you know, you kind of got a rhythm for your defense and what they're going to do, and we've had all spring, you know, the 12 or 13 practices we had then, and the 9 or 10 practices we had against ourselves to start camp. So after 22, 23 practices, everyone kind of knows each other, so it's nice to go to a different, you know, team and see what you got. And, you know, tonight was different in that everyone was tackling, it was live. I mean, this was real football. You know, this week was a productive week to get out there and see where we're at to measure up against, you know, a good team. Well, I mean, we're a better football team now than we were when we started the week, but you know, we got to be a better football team in the next week, you know, than we are tonight. So it's a building process, and you know, we're trying to make one play turn into two good plays, turn into three good plays, and it's not all going to go perfect. I mean, it's going to be hard. This sport is, you know, once you think you got it figured out, it's going to kick you right back in the butt. So we got a long way to go, but it was fun to get out there and play, you know, real for the first real game in 7 months.
Seems like none of your backs tiptoe. How nice is that to have four guys that you can hand it to, say, third and two late in the year? Everything doesn't just fall on you. We can dial up the run.
Sure.
Kind of like LeGarrette Blount made a play, I think, in each quarter tonight. How big is that for the offense?
Yeah, you know, to like you said, that's critical to run the ball when they know you're going to run it. We had big runs. We had short yardage runs where we needed to get the ball. We ran it on the goal line. So, I mean, that establishes the identity of the team, how well you run, how well you stop the run. And all those guys did a great job. They're big, strong, powerful runners that, you know, want the ball in their hands. And when they get into rhythm, they're able to go out and make a bunch of plays. I mean, Ridd's done it since he got here. Shane's doing it. LeGarrette's doing it. You know, Brandon's made some runs. So it's been fun to watch.
Individually, each one of them, how they played blocks.
Well, it's hard to really single out anybody, but you know, they're all, you know, everyone contributed. So we got a long way to go. I mean, it's so early, it's one preseason game and 4 weeks from the start of the year, and you know, every bit of preparation, you know, we gotta use it. So I'll let Rick talk. Right. Thanks, guys.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in Philadelphia after the Patriots get a win. Those were some very, very interesting comments from Tom Brady. If you listen closely, you noticed how much he focused on the running attack of the Patriots, and he talked about the offensive line taking pride in the ability to run the football. He talked about being able to run the football when the other team knows you're going to run the football, and he also talked about establishing an identity as your offense in terms of being able to run the football. And that's a lot of talk about running the football. And maybe one of the most interesting things that Tom Brady just said was they are challenged to be a tough football team, which means that is that challenge in front of them. They are trying to establish themselves as a team that can run the football at will, and can successfully run the ball when the other team is expecting that to be the case. So some very telling comments from Tom Brady that probably explains that first drive for the Patriots, in which they did not have a pass attempt and they quickly went down the field. Obviously the big 62-yard run, a big part of that from Ridley, and we'll hear from him coming up. That's a big part of it, but Tom Brady talking about being able to run the football, that has to be, I said this in the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social, that has to be a focus. They have to be able to get back to that. And Tom Brady is preaching that after this game in which they were able to run the football. And I think that's a good thing for this team. It's a good thing. We saw good positive developments with the receivers and the new faces. But the running attack is high on the list of positives from this game.
8 yards a carry tonight, Beadle.
8 yards a carry.
They can do half that They're in good shape.
I mean, 8 yards a carry. And, you know, I said at one point during the game, we were watching the game here in the studio, I said, right there, you saw in a couple of plays, whether it be either Ridley or in the other case, Blunt, I said, look at the Patriots be able to fall forward for 5 or 7 yards.
Manhandled up front. That push up front was amazing.
It's been a long time since you've seen that, and now you've got a bigger back in Blunt, and also Ridley looks like he's gotten a little bit bigger. Maybe that's led to some of that speed
then on
decrease.
That, another thing, too, Beetle, that we haven't even really touched on that much is we always talk about this football team, you know, since, let's say, 2006, 2007, you know, throwing to set up the run. Tonight, they ran to set up the pass. That's,
absolutely.
That second drive.
The second drive was was evident of that.
Play action fake to Ridley, 26 yards down the middle to Dobson. I mean, it's very interesting watching this team, especially the first team, function tonight.
And you had a game tonight in which the Patriots rushed for more yards than they passed
that
for.
That just doesn't happen.
Well, a big part of that is definitely the Mallett and Tebow combination, but yards rushing tonight for the Patriots, 248 yards. On 31 rushing plays, and as you just heard Kevin say, that's 8 yards per carry for the Patriots on the ground tonight. They threw for 194 yards, and that was the story in the air for the Patriots, which is the most of the success. Coming from Tom Brady, one drive, 7 of 8, 65 yards. Ryan Mallett, 9 of 18 tonight. He completed 50% of his attempts, 97 yards passing. And Tim Tebow, 4 of 12, 55 yards. You want to jump on board, you can do so. Call us, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-728-7500. Send your emails in at webradio@patriots.com. That's where we get some emails here at patriots.com. Got one from Mike. Mike writes in, what was your reaction to the great Tim Tebow? Didn't look very good. And they drew up some plays for him to run around on the field and be the college quarterback that he is, and he did not look good, and he did not look good throwing the football. He missed guys. He held on too long. He got sacked. There wasn't a lot of positives to take out of Tim Tebow. There were the occasional pass completions that looked okay, but for the most part, he had one decent pass to Aiken.
Yeah, he also no, that was Mallett, my mistake. Mallett fell in love with Daniel Fells.
Yes.
The three in a row, almost.
Well, I think Daniel Fells is going to make an impact on this team, and if you're ranking your tight ends right now without Gronkowski, I put him as one.
Yeah.
But he did fall in. But ugh. When it came to Tebow, though, I think Kamar Aiken had the one passer. I said, okay, he completed a pass there.
I think you're right.
There you go. I think it was about a 15-yarder.
The other thing interesting, Beetle, you mentioned Brady, I think, was 7 of 8.
Yeah.
I have in my notes here. I think 3 of those 7 completions were to Tompkins, which was interesting.
I think it may have been 4.
It may have even been 4, yeah.
I thought it was 4.
May have even missed one. But, we looked at each other watching the game here in the studio, and we're like, man, it seems like he wants to develop a rapport with this guy.
Yeah, so on that drive, there were multiple passes to...
Yeah, you were right, 4.
Yeah, 4,
he
right?
Has a 6-yarder.
I'm double-checking.
They were all short. There was a 6-yarder, a 4-yarder, a 7-yarder, and a 5-yarder. So all, you know, marginal... mid-range passes, but he caught all of them.
And he was in traffic, and he had to be physical at times and get off his coverage. Here's Adam emailing in, webradio@patriots.com. Adam says, I'm still more worried about the defense than I am about the offense, and I also disagree with most people about the receivers not getting separation. At the end of the day, they were facing a legit NFL defense, and in the NFL, receivers will rarely be wide open. It also helps when Tom Brady is throwing the ball. I made that point earlier. When you have Tom Brady throwing you the football, and we're accustomed to that precision passing that Tom Brady can provide your team with. You don't have to be wide open. You just need to be open enough. And the guys that were on the field up against the ones, and I know that people have said the Philadelphia defense is not a great defense in the secondary, but listen, these guys against number one players, starting players in the NFL, created enough to catch passes and go down the field and score. And I think that's an encouraging sign in preseason game number one, considering you got guys suiting up for the first time in the NFL. You have to be encouraged by that. I don't want to say they're going to be great and they're going to be Pro Bowlers, but you have to be encouraged with the early signs of this group. I would say that is something that is a positive sign. And there are many positive things to take out of this. The running backs being a big part of that. We'll hear from Stephen Ridley in just a couple of minutes here. Another email, webradio@patriots.com. Hey, Beetle, are you doing the postgame all year? Hope so. Can't wait to see how this season unfolds. That's Dave in Haverhill. I'm here. I haven't quit yet.
You're stuck with him, Dave.
So you're stuck with me. You know, unless I get fired or quit, which I don't foresee either one.
It's not going to happen.
But you know, working with that Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, those two characters, they could drive you crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to get lumped in with that crew.
No, not at all.
You separate yourself from those two idiots.
Definitely don't want to be involved in that.
No, this is a much more professional show here after the game.
I would say so. But seriously, don't forget to listen pregame as well. The Dunkin' Donuts pregame social, which always gets underway 2 hours and 15 minutes prior to kickoff. You want to hear that right here in the same exact place. I'll be here. I'm here. Jones is out. Okay? We don't want to talk. After today, I don't want to hear any more about this Adam Jones guy.
Thou who shall not be named. He's like Lord Voldemort.
He who shall not be named. So, yes, Dave, thank you for checking in. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening. I'll be here for the remainder of this season. Again, that number, 855-PATS-500. If you want to jump on board, still time to do so. Stephen Ridley tonight had that big run right as the first play of the game. Things were really just getting underway, and Stephen Ridley on the first play from scrimmage rips off a big run. Finished the evening with 8 carries for 92 yards. He averaged 11.5 yards a carry, and he also had a touchdown. Obviously, the 62-yard run being his highlight of the night, and he was caught from behind. I thought he should have scored on that play. Maybe you don't want to get caught from behind on that play, but here's Stephen Ridley. Here's what he had to say about his team and his own individual performance after the Patriots won in Philadelphia.
Man,
Garrett, why'd you think Garrett Bryant had that much speed to be able to turn around and the house the way you did?
Hey, I think he surprised us all, man. I mean, like I said about this running back group, man, we're special, you know, and we've got a lot of work to do. And I can just say we're off to a good start. So, I mean, we're happy with Blunt, man, a reverse fields and get upfield and score like that. And then come in and had a nice run on a second touchdown or close to a second touchdown. I mean, you can't really ask for more. You know, we're just working hard every day and the results are showing.
But you set the tone of the game right from the get-go with your long run that set up your own touchdown.
You know, my offensive line, I always give credit to them, and my quarterback, they just left up here, man, because, you know, without the 10 in front of me, I couldn't do it. So, I mean, they blocked it right. The hole was wide open, and all that was left for me to do is just hit it wide open. And, you know, I hit it and tried to score me one from out there, but I think my max I have is 50 yards, man. I got sucked up a little bit, but, hey, maybe I'll get it next time.
What, did Riggy hit you through the morning?
I don't know who it was. Somebody came from behind me, man, and I caught a little bit of you know, talk from the teammates when I got to the sidelines, but it's all good, man. But we got it punched in a few plays later, so it counts just the same.
Yeah, it seems like the running backs can, you know, it's only one game, it's only a preseason game, but you guys showed your versatility tonight, being able to run the ball, being able to catch the ball, shake a ring touchdown, and the corner of the end zone as well.
That's what I say. I really think the hard work's paying off. You know, our coach has been riding us, you know, going on, 13, 14 days now, about catching it out the backfield, making the right cuts, running downfield, getting our pads down, you know, and punching it in on the goal line. So for us, we just try to do it all, you know, and really we showed some of that tonight, but we're not satisfied. This is week one of so many to come. So we're off to a good start, and we've just got to continue to roll and continue to work together as a group.
Is it easier playing against a team you practice with all week? And, you know, you turn around, you got to do it next week with Tampa Bay.
I think it's always good. I mean, you know, camp's so long when you're banging up on your own teammates and stuff like that. But, you know, to get in there with, you know, the Philadelphia and see them for a few days prior to playing them on the field is always good. You know your opponent a little bit better. And versus just coming in there and playing them on, you know, like a Sunday like we would during the season. You know, we just have to prepare and, you know, trust in our coaching staff. Not that we don't do that, but right. To be able to see them is always good. You know, to see the faces, see how they play, get the fit up on a few blocks with them and just see, you know, how they play football.
Talk about Tim Tebow. We saw a lot of action. Does the offense have to change? It seems like it does. When you look at the offense now, it has to change a lot when Tebow's in there. How is he fitting in? How are the teammates accepting?
Tebow's special. I mean,
why is he special?
They'd be able to come in there and have our offense change it all from Brady and Malik going in there to a pocket passer to a, you know, an option quarterback and somebody who can make it happen on the ground. They're making those changes in our playbook. So,
do you think it will work?
I do. I mean, Tim's a winner, man. I don't care what y'all say about him. And You know, for us, he's just come in here and he's done his job. He's been quiet. He's worked hard, you know, and coaches seem to just be putting more and more plays, you know, in his realm of style, you know, and what he does. So for me, you know, as a teammate, I just watch him work. He comes to work every day, the third quarterback, and he gets in there and he does his thing. So it's showing.
So players are rooting for this guy to make the team.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's coming in there. What more can we ask for, you know, out of him to come in there and play like he's doing? So, you know, he's not Brady, he's not Mallett, but he does bring, you know, a special feature to the game, and he does it well.
All right. Well, good luck next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank y'all. I mean, it was one guy asking all those questions. Steve Burton getting after it in that interview, that press session. Steve Burton has, I think he asked every question. Just notice that. We're going to get a sound drop for that. Steve Burton is all over these post-game interviews. That guy is in there asking tons of questions every time anyone hits the podium after a game. Some interesting things that Ridley said right there. One, a lot of love for Tim Tebow. What's with that? What's with the love for Tebow? I didn't see a lot to love tonight when it came to Tim Tebow. Maybe he's a great teammate and a great guy in the locker room.
Let's get his teammates back.
That part, I guess, is good, but that just seemed to be above and beyond
it's a love fest.
Tim Tebow deserved in terms of praise after that game.
That he opens up the playbook.
If he remembers the playbook, I think everyone will be better off. Just needs to remember those plays. Needs to not get so locked in on guys. Anyway, we can continue to take your final thoughts here on this game. 855-PATS-500, or you can email in as well. webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. Another question coming in on the email. Do you think it is the philosophy of the secondary to play a certain technique that has made them seem subpar for the past few seasons, or is it just the lack of talent / bad pass rush? Second question, is it just me, or did Tompkins look like he ran routes exactly like Deion Branch? That's Dave in West Virginia. Also said you are my favorite honk. Interesting. Anyway, Dave, I would say I'm not a honk.
You're a total honk.
The first part about is it more technique or is it lack of talent and bad pass rush, I'd go more toward the second of those two options. I'm going more toward talent, ability, and the pass rush, you know, that has to improve on that defense. I think that's what we're looking for. That needs to improve. And the other part is Tompkins running routes like Deion Branch. He looked like Deion Branch later in his career. The problem with that is Tompkins is young.
Well, he's not the same type of receiver. Not. No. Deion in his prime, that double move, you know, that he was patented for, he was definitely more shifty than Tompkins is.
So you want to send in your emails before we wrap things up. Wrap it up.
Wascally wabbit.
Wrap it up here on Patriots postgame show at patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com. And we do have open lines for you at 855-PATS-500. From an Eagles perspective, we talked before the game with Bull Wolf of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we have not examined the Eagles perspective. And I wanted to do this quickly before we wrap things up here on the program. Michael Vick against Nick Foles. I don't buy that this is a true quarterback competition. And again, I don't follow the Eagles like I do the Patriots in terms of on an everyday basis, so I don't have all the ins and the outs of that situation. But I just find it hard to believe that Nick Foles is really going to unseat Michael Vick as the quarterback for the Eagles. Mike Vick did get the start tonight. Looked good on the two possessions that he had out there, 4 of 5, 94 yards passing, and a touchdown. He had that 47-yard touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson, which beat Aqib Talib. Perfectly plays football. Also hit Jason Avant on a big catch, 22-yarder on third down. Just the classic Mike Vick strong pass. And that was a strike from him to Avant. And then on the second drive, he also hit Riley Cooper for a 19-yard completion. And Vick, I thought, looked very good. He looked good for his team tonight. Very good start for him in that competition. Nick Foles, not as great. Had the turnover. He did have the Eagles on a 10-play, 66-yard drive that ended with a Bryce Brown 8-yard touchdown run. We haven't talked too much about that TD run. The Patriots defense did not look good on that particular play. Foles did he was a little bit more in terms of up-tempo, speed type of guy. And I thought that maybe is in his favor, but I'm not sure what the Eagles are exactly trying to achieve on offense. And I would say that of the two, it was pretty clear to me that Vic played better of the two. So, I find it hard to believe that Nick Foles is going to end up being the starting quarterback. But again, still early. And he had that turnover, the Tommy Kelly getting into the backfield. The ball pops out. Brandon Spikes had the recovery. I thought if you're looking at the Patriots linebackers as a group, they played pretty well tonight. And that's going to be a group that we all continue to watch closely as we get closer and closer to the regular season. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number here on Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Let's get to another email here, webradio@Patriots.com. Kurt from Valencia, California, as he writes, the home of Shane Vereen. Hey, guys, hope all is well on this Friday night. I can't get over excited since I saw only a few drives, but I liked how Brady seemed flawless moving down towards the end zone, with one drive being primarily all running and then the latter moving down with his receivers. I think we saw a great dose of all-around good offense. I think the Eagles' D seemed poor, but I felt a sense of relief seeing a well-oiled offense like last year's regular season and without the usual faces. Seems like we now have the option to run better, which keeps Brady healthy, and we can still move quickly down with Tom's precise throwing. I think that's the biggest positives from this game. The Patriots' ability to run the football, the Patriots' ability to run the football when their opponent saw the run coming, and also Tom Brady still throwing the football well, which is a huge sign because of all the new receivers. I thought there were some real positives to take away on offense from the Patriots tonight when we're talking about their starting unit. Defense, I think, still has some work to do. The defense still needs to work on some things, and I'm sure they will continue to do that. The secondary is a concern for a lot of people, as we heard from many of you tonight, concerned about the secondary, concerned about that consistent pressure that you want to see and you want to see in a pass rush. It just wasn't there tonight, but it could be coming. It could be coming. The Patriots will play their next preseason game a week from tonight when they are home right here at Gillette Stadium. They will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers preseason game number 2, 8 o'clock kickoff next Friday night. And, of course, you'll be able to join the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social.
Hopefully around 11.
Which I'll be back.
As long as the game goes on time. I mean,
I'm talking pregame.
Okay,
still.
Fine. The postgame? Hopefully around 11.
Right around the same time. 11 o'clock.
I'm hoping.
And I'll be back for the pre and the post right here on Patriots.com. I've been here one day. It's in the books. I mean,
congrats. You did well.
I'm officially a part of the team
now. You passed with flying colors.
That's good. Thank you, everybody, for all of your interactions today, both on Twitter, email, calling in. It's been a lot of fun. And you know what? We'll do it again a week from tonight. I'll talk to you then.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com radio.
Luck on the play action, back to throw, steps up, lets it go, open, and intercepted. Overthrew it to the far side. That's Tlaib at the 45, 40, 35, back to the left at the 20. He's at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Aqib Talib.
For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Friday, the Patriots host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason game number 2. Be sure to tune into the Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Snap to Brady, has time, floats it downfield, open Edelman, he's got it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Brady to Julian Edelman.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.